Lois was looking for a hammer because all they had was nails.
Yep.
But no, wait. Everything looks like a nail. All right, anyway. Oh. Brett Ehrlich joins us in this second hour. And I did not get a chance to read your tweets, which I will in the next segment. And I'm also going to tell you when the streams are aired in the next segment, because Anna and I are presenting at the streamies.
Oh.
Really?
And it's actually an awesome category.
What category are we allowed to know?
Nope. I'm going to tell you in the next segment.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, and I'll let you know where you can watch too. #TYT for streamies. Go.
All right, let's do it. Former Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez's lawyer says his brain showed signs of a severe case of CTE. So this involves Aaron Hernandez, who you may or may not have known. He was a tight end for the Patriots, and he was convicted of a murder in 2013 and sentenced to life in prison. He was found hanged in his jail cell. According to studies that have been done, CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy has been linked to repeated concussions and involves brain damage, particularly in the frontal region that controls many functions, including judgment, emotion, impulse control, social behavior, and memory. It leads to symptoms like violent mood swings, depression, and other cognitive difficulties. They also presented the actual brain scans, which we can look at. So the darkened areas largely attributed to symptoms and signs and a physical manifestation of the CTE. And so a lot of people are bringing into the discussion whether this led to some of the behavior surrounding the murders, because it has been linked, as it has been said, to mood swings. And also this, also other parts of the discussion are the fact that he has a history of being affiliated with certain groups that participated in violence. And so yeah, the question is CTE behind this?
Yeah. So a couple of things here. It might be related to the murders. It obviously could also be related to suicide, right, which is what it often leads to. Now, his fiance thinks it was not a suicide, and I was a little skeptical in the beginning because of the timing. So he got convicted for the 2013 murder. He was up on two different murder charges, but he was still appealing that. And it was just right after he was acquitted for the second set of murders, actually the earlier murders, a 2012 drive-by shooting of two men in Boston. He got acquitted of that, and then we find him, you know, hanging in his cell and an apparent suicide. And I was like, why would he kill himself right after he was acquitted, and he still got an appeal on the other charges? And this guy had a contract for $40 million, so that would give a normal person hope that you could turn your life around. Unlikely he'd make it back into football, but you know, there was just, and he had already made a lot of money before. It just seemed weird that he committed suicide, but it might not be weird if you have CTE, which very often leads to suicide.
So what I found really interesting about this, and I didn't know it in our prior reporting on CTE, a person, at least with the medical procedures that we have now and the medical testing that we have available right now, a person who's suffering from CTE can't get diagnosed until after they've already died. Right. You can only diagnose a person through an autopsy. And so what I'm curious about is, you know, in terms of the prosecution of any individual, when it comes to a trial, usually if there are mental health issues that could have contributed to that alleged crime, those issues come up as part of the defense, whether it's insanity or whatever. And so I'm wondering, you know, this is a real problem, and it's affecting all sorts of athletes, especially football players, people who are involved in mixed martial arts, you know.
Wrestlers too.
Wrestlers, if this kind of stuff comes up over and over again, you know, are they going to come up with better testing methods to see if, you know, people are suffering from this condition, if they're being prosecuted?
There are attempts to find new ways to diagnose it. Dr. Sam Gandy at Mount Sinai in New York is trying to develop a new, he's a more of an Alzheimer's expert and is trying to find new ways to diagnose it while you're still alive. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine that in some kind of prosecutorial case, since there's such a prevalence of it, for those not familiar with the NFL study, they studied 111 brains of former NFL players, and of those 111, 110 shown signs of CTE. And yeah, these are the brains of deceased football players.
So that's obviously over 99% of NFL players, but they also studied college football players and high school football players. College football players, shockingly high, about 75% of their brains had CTE. High school football players, 25%. As a former high school football player, that scares the hell out of me. And by the way, of course, remember that that study is of people whose families gave their brains in to study, so it's not perfectly, you know,
it's not a representative sample.
It's not a random or representative sample, but still, the numbers are so stark that it is a significant issue. Now, my guess is that Anna's right, that defense lawyers will start bringing this up. No, it's okay, the CTE made him do it. It's not going to be a great defense, and nor should it be. But I don't know what the right answer is. I love football. I know a lot of people love watching mixed martial arts. I loved watching wrestling when I was a kid. And there's two things at play, and it depends on a case by case basis. So you have no idea if the guy who did something violent is actually has CTE or doesn't. But they also do a lot of steroids in all three of those things. And so you'll see, there's been a number of cases of ex wrestlers and MMA guys and football players abusing their loved ones, sometimes killing them, mm-hmm. etc. And you've got a combination of pent up aggression and by the way, you make a living by acting out violently. And now it's better that it's in a controlled area like the NFL, right? But and then you've got roids and then you've got CTE. Boy, that's a bad combo.
Yeah. I never bought the they work in a violent industry and they bring that home. It's just so strange to me because it's not like violent trauma, like people who go to warfare and come back with, you know, PTSD. And on the other hand, in other situations, like people who are surgeons don't come home and perform surgery on their family, you know?
And look, like porn can go both directions. That came out weird. Okay, what I mean by that is some people claim, hey, porn makes sexual assault more likely because they get, you know, they see some version of that or whatever. And the other side, in that case, they've done a lot of studies on it. Another side won, which is that no, actually, once they've orgasmed, they don't care at all. It actually makes them less likely to commit sexual assault. But in this case, look, part of the reason I played football because I was a really aggressive dude. And it allowed me to take out my aggression in that context, which is a good context.
Right.
And which was rewarded and et cetera, instead of taking it out in the wrong context. And so there's a case to be made that if you do it right, it'll lead to less violence. So I hear you on that. But we have had a lot of violence surrounding these couple of areas. They'll have to study it a lot more to see if it actually is connected to CTE. But Aaron Hernandez's case, absolutely tragic for all the people who died earlier. And now for Hernandez himself too. And in his case, we do know whether it led to his crimes or his suicide, he had a pretty bad case of CTE. And sometimes it does lead to those things.
Yep. All right, we're gonna move on to another story. It's free speech week at Berkeley, which means I will not be going to Berkeley this week. It is a conservative rally that lasts for 4 days starting on Sunday, so plan accordingly. It is, you know, coordinated by the alt-right and, you know, the idea of free speech. I think we'll talk about what they mean when they say it's free speech week. But already this group has come under some problems that have presented themselves around the planning of the event. They have missed some deadlines. So Berkeley Patriot, the student group, missed deadlines that would have given the university police the time they need to set up security for the week. So missing those deadlines, now their events that were supposed to take place inside are going to have to be shifted outside, which bring with them a whole lot of problems and logistical challenges. Also, no one knows who's actually speaking at this event. Only Milo Yiannopoulos, conservative commentator David Horowitz, and far-right activist Lucian Wintrich have actually confirmed the brand name troll spunk, such as Coulter and Bannon, have not publicly confirmed their attendance. There's one It was reported that there was one person who was, you know, announced as being part of this whole event, who then came out and said, the inclusion of my name in the list of speakers was done without my knowledge or permission. Murray, who was the speaker, added that he would never attend an event with Yiannopoulos because he is a despicable asshole.
Right, so Charles Murray said that.
Now, Charles Murray is not a pleasant guy, first of all. He's mainly known for the idea that race and IQ are related. In other words, and shockingly enough, he thinks that white people are smarter and others are not as smart, especially blacks and Latinos. Wow, what a revolutionary theory. I've never heard that one before. And most other scientists dismiss his claims and think it's pseudoscience. So even that guy thinks Nemo's an asshole.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so this is classic right wing. First of all, they missed the deadline. I don't know if it's because they're incompetent because they're right wingers, you know. I mean, look at them run the government. They run it right into the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Or they miss it on purpose so that there's more controversy and, my God, we got to go outside where the protesters are more likely to be and cause a mess. Yes, because all they care about is the attention. Mm-hmm. What brilliant speech are they going to give that's going to change minds at Berkeley, right? They don't care about that. They don't care about the actual speech. They're like, oh, drama.
Of course they don't care about the actual speech. In fact, one of the people who in the past attempted to give a speech at Berkeley and then it was shut down by protesters was Ann Coulter. Now, she hasn't confirmed whether or not she's going to go to this event, but she claimed, you know, look at these libs trying to do away with freedom of expression, freedom of speech, as if she genuinely values that, right? But in reality, she doesn't value it. And so I went back and I poured through the internet to see whether or not some of these big name conservatives who keep doing this had anything to say about Chelsea Manning losing her honorary fellowship at Harvard because conservatives wanted to censor Chelsea Manning. Well, Ann Coulter did tweet about that. The only thing she said was, this is the second chance to be a fellow that Chelsea Manning has blown. Oh, that's your commentary?
Oh, clever.
Where's the criticism about Harvard, right? Where's the criticism about how this university isn't supporting free speech? Anyway, they're obviously not being genuine when they make those arguments. But look, there's a reason why they keep going to Berkeley, because they want to remain relevant. And the only way that they remain relevant and remain in the headlines is if we give them the attention that they want. So I get that it's ironic because we're doing a story on it and it's giving them attention. But the reason why I think it's important to cover this is because please don't feed the trolls. Just don't. Please don't feed them. I get it, they're hateful, they say terrible things. But allow that transparency to be out there, right? Allow them to say the hateful things, allow them to share their unpopular ideas, and fight those ideas with your own ideas, right? At the same time, you should host a speaking event or speaking engagement featuring someone who has ideas that you believe in. I will promote that speech, okay?
Well, I'll go further. Here, let's have fun. Next time these clowns want to do like a freedom speech or whatever, and they want to have 4 or 28 conservatives on a campus, just invite me. Same day, me versus all of them. And you know what? You don't even have to protest them. Just come to my speech instead. My guess is that our speech will be larger than all of theirs combined, as usual. Okay, because they're not popular. And so Ben Shapiro went to Berkeley the other day. There was some protests. I wouldn't even bother protesting. And there was no major interruptions. And it was a normal, fine, boring, weirdly wrong right-wing speech. Mm-hmm. So what, right? And like he did his standard like rah rah, let's give tax cuts to the rich. And people were like, oh, okay. And then they left.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. Like, let them. I know. I get it. Look, the best advice I ever got, and it was advice given to me last year when I think I needed it the most, was don't give people the power to make you angry. And like, look, sometimes people do things and it makes you angry for legitimate reasons. I get that. But in this case, they're purposely doing something to rile students up and make them angry because it does benefit them. It benefits their business model. Don't give them that power.
Right. And if you do get angry, there are certain manifestations of that anger that are useful.
Yeah.
But there are certain manifestations of that anger that give them more power. And the manifestations of anger that give them more power are violent activities. And if you go and you throw, you know, something at someone, or got, you know, if there's any kind of violence whatsoever, that's exactly what they want. I mean, I saw an amazing interview on a local TV station around Berkeley. I think it was the CW local affiliate, where they showed all the complaints lodged by the Berkeley Patriot, all those things saying like, they won't let us speak, they're making it so difficult. And they literally said, they're treating us differently than they have treated literally every student group. And then it cuts right to an interview with the administrator who's in charge of receiving all these documents from them to okay the event. And he's like, yeah, we are treating them differently. We're giving them way more leeway and way more extra time than we give everyone else, just because it's such, and they understand exactly what's going on. And they wisely say, like, we're not gonna give them the pushback that they're looking for. And at every point, we'll, you know, respond to their misinformation with all the right kind of information. And it works.
Last couple of fun things. I like that Charles Murray and some of the other right wingers were outraged that they were lied about. The right wing lies all the time about the left wing and about everything else. But when all of a sudden you're doing it to each other, like, oh, shocked and chagrined. Turns out some people on our side are liars. Okay. Wow. And then remember, this isn't about free speech, because CPAC had invited Nemo and said, well, you know, I know that he said all these sexist, bigoted, of course they didn't admit that, but it's super obvious he had. And don't make me list a dozen things he said that's outrageous. Anyway, all those things, but we're fine with it. I mean, we're for freedom of speech. And then they found out that he had done that interview where he seemed to be advocating for child molestation and pedophilia. Not that he did it, but that he was saying, like, yeah, it's not such a bad thing. And then all of a sudden, CPAC disinvited him. Wait, I thought you were for free speech.
Right. Just because you disagree with that idea doesn't mean that you should censor him, right?
So it's actually not about free speech. They kind of like the bigotry and the sexism and the racism. That's why they wanted him to speak. They don't, to their credit, I guess, they don't like pedophilia. So that's why they didn't want him to speak after they found out. So just admit that you like the racism and the sexism, and don't hide behind freedom of speech as if, like, that's your shining principle. Like, freedom of speech is awesome. We all have said a million times we're in favor of it and in favor of you speaking. That doesn't mean that what you say is by definition a good thing.
Right.
It just
right.
means you're allowed to say it.
And it doesn't mean that people aren't allowed to criticize what you say, right? So that's another thing. As soon as they, let's say, advertisers pull out of their content, they think that's censorship. No, that's advertisers not wanting to be affiliated with your hateful rhetoric. That has nothing to do with you being censored. It's with a business model that makes sense for these particular advertisers.
Right. So, and they're wrong. Like, what they say is wrong. A lot of it is hyperbole for the intent of getting a reaction or a rise out of you. They can't really back it up. There's a great thing from Slate. Michelle Goldberg writes that she went to a bunch of events, and this is actually graphic 7. We're going to skip graphic 6. And she said again and again, when she went to these Trump rallies and various demonstrations, she said, people told me how much they resented not being able to speak their minds, though none of them wanted to articulate what exactly they were holding in. They had hated being shamed on social media, though they usually didn't want to say what they had been shamed for. And a lot of this is like, they don't like being told that they can't say anything, but they really don't want you to know what they want to say because they know how terrible it is. And if you let them actually voice that opinion, they know that the rejoinder is going to be, you know, revelatory of exactly how terrible they are.
It's a wonderful country. You're allowed to be a racist, but we don't have to like you for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, finally, super last thing. One of the right wingers who's not coming is Michael Malice. So they are going to have an absence of malice.
That's funny.
So great. All right, so we gotta take a break before we move on to the other stories.
Okay, as you all know from a previous old school that Brett and I did together, Absence of Malice was the very first movie I saw in America.
Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh.
Still looking for Malice, and I'm not gonna find him at Berkeley either. Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, that music leading in actually put me in such a holiday spirit. It felt a little Christmassy, and I'm so fat. I literally wanted to
eat. Good turn.
I literally, even though it was like I had the Lawrence O'Donnell thing, you know what I thought? I want to eat Christmas cookies and milk right now.
What are your favorite Christmas cookies? Like the ones that are candy cane gingerbread or something?
No.
Those not a gingerbread man?
No, I feel that's slightly un-American. It feels weirdly socialist Northern European to me. The ones with the, you know, the red and green sprinkles on them. Sugar cookies with the
cookies. Yeah, that's the answer.
That's America right there.
Those are good.
Oh, I gotta tell you guys Uber stories too. I don't know if we could all fit it into one post game, but I have great Uber stories from my trip. We'll do a long post game. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member. You're gonna love it, trust me. Some of them are bananas. I can't wait to tell you guys. All right, anyway, Peter Hamby wrote in on YouTube Super Chat. There are people who can't work due to their pre-existing conditions, and the Graham Cassidy bill will empty their accounts. The GOP doesn't care about the weak and the poor. We voted liars to DC. That is unfortunately true. Clever Name Here says on Twitter, I wonder what the rate of CTE is on other sports like hockey. Lisa Mojica says, I coached youth soccer and refused to teach the little ones how to execute headers. This was back in 1988. Wow, Lisa with some good foresight there. Okay, and then I told you guys that I was going to tell you where you could watch the streamies. On Tuesday night at 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, it's going to be at streamies.twitter.com. Because I want you guys to watch, it's fun and we're up for show of the year and that'll be really exciting. Hashtag TYT for streamies so that we could win. But Anna and I are also going to present the storyteller of the year. And yes, and the people in that category are Amanda Cerny, DJ Khaled, King Bach, Lele Pons, and Logan Paul. That's some serious folks.
I feel like King Batch was on our show once.
King Batch was. I always called Bach. Him. I better get that right before I have a Steve Harvey moment.
Yeah, right. and the actual pronunciation of DJ Khaled's name is DJ Khaled, because it's like at the beginning of every song he's ever been on.
Yes.
He does it. You have to shout it.
You need more of a gap between the D and the J, though.
DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
And then because you don't see him on the songs, but he announces his presence with authority.
Yes.
Well, I guess that's the key to pronouncing it right. Reference to his
music comes in all kinds of keys. B flat.
Okay, I'm both fat and old. All right, let's move on.
All right, let's get into Melania.
That's what he said.
Oh wow!
Okay.
Oh,
no. Wow. I didn't even mean that at all. I swear. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's terrible. That was so terrible. All right, let's get on this. So
that's what.
Oh God. Okay. All right, there's so many other jokes to make about this story that should not be one of them. Melania Trump hates bullies, no matter how ironic that may sound. She spoke to the UN on Wednesday outlining her priorities when it comes to making the world a better place. Folks heard this part of her speech and took issue about how tone deaf it came off. Take a listen.
It remains our generation's moral imperative to take responsibility for what our children learn. We must turn our focus right now to the message and content they are exposed to on a daily basis through social media, the bullying, the experience online and in person, and the growing global epidemic of drug addiction and drug overdose.
So you heard that she thinks bullying is bad and we need to watch what kind of example we set over social media. This, of course, on the heels of literally years of her husband absolutely bullying people on social media. The latest of which was this tweet, this retweeted gif of him hitting a golf ball and Hillary Clinton getting hit by it.
So, and that's...
It loops twice.
Oh, violence against women is so funny. Yeah. And by the way, the tweet also had hashtag crooked Hillary. Mm-hmm. So look, that was 3 days ago, but you can pick 1,000 examples when it comes to Donald Trump. And well before he became president, Rosie O'Donnell's a pig and on and on. And not just women, he attacks everybody. To be fair to him, he's a dick to everyone.
Going after a beauty pageant contestant because he thinks that she's gained too much weight, making fun of a reporter who has a disability. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Like that is his MO. That is what Trump does.
Right.
He called Hillary Clinton crooked Hillary throughout the campaign. He called Ted Cruz lying Ted.
Called Marco Rubio.
Little boy. Marco.
Oh yeah, right. Little Marco.
No, I called him
oh,
boy.
Oh, you called him boy.
Well, that's the thing is his tactic is always an emotional attack on self-esteem. That's what it is. He wants to hurt your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And yes, these are big politicians who should have a healthy self-esteem, but it's the example that Melania is talking about of setting an example, and that example is to go after people where they may feel self-conscious, and that's what bullies do. And yes, there he goes after politicians, and you can't come back at me with, okay, there's a bunch of politicians, so it isn't punching down, but every other example is exactly him punching down. And now that he is the president, most of the people that he's punching are down.
So almost everybody, right? By definition, he's the commander in chief.
Right, okay. Exactly. I get that it comes off as incredibly ironic, but look, she's got firsthand experience of what it's like to be married to a bully. So maybe that's the reason why she chose this as the topic that she champions, you know, throughout.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you know what? She might have meant this as a message to Trump, and she thought, well, since this is an important speech, Fox News might cover it, so Trump might finally listen to me.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's
maybe.
Only ironic if she loves her husband.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. And it doesn't really appear that she does.
If she thinks of him a bully, it's not ironic at all.
Right. And also, as I watch that, like part of me really feels for her because she doesn't want to be there. She doesn't want to give that speech. She doesn't want to be in the public eye. I happen to know someone who used to be her hairstylist, and he had told me that she's one of these people who just wants to be as private as possible. And so now she's like forced to be in the public eye when all she wanted was a sugar daddy. You know what I mean? Like, kind of sucks. Sugar daddy's president now. Now you got to give these speeches that you probably don't really care about. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I think that she's doing this because she doesn't want herself or her son, the younger Trump kid, to be bullied, and that's super understandable. And she gets, so put the kid aside, everybody agrees that don't talk about the kid. For her, I mean, I don't know, you wanted to marry Donald Trump and you thought that was a great idea. So sad day for you. So there, I don't have much sympathy. I'm not saying go bully her. I don't know what it would even mean to bully her, but if you're gonna get criticized for being on Team Trump, that's not really bullying. That's just the consequence of your decisions.
Also, real quick, there have been, I've read some articles from people on the left criticizing her outfits. And it's not just about the way the outfits look, it's more about how much they cost. Like that dress that she's wearing there is a $3,000 dress. And so, look, if you think that that's the kind of stuff that will switch voters' minds in regard to the Trump administration, you're wrong. I mean, they flaunted their wealth their entire lives. They continue to flaunt their wealth. The voters don't care about how wealthy Trump is. In fact, they think the more wealthy he is, the more successful he is, and the better the country will be as a result of that. Like, it's just needless. Like, I don't care about what she's wearing, and I don't care how much it costs. Like, let's move on with our lives.
Unlike Mnuchin's wife, she's not rubbing it in people's faces.
Right.
That's a huge difference. She just wears a $3,000 dress because she can, and that was the whole point of her marriage. It's like, if I don't get this out of it, I don't know what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that bullying? Did I bully her? Come on, you married Trump. Get real.
Anyway. It was just so awkward to watch that.
Yeah.
Because you see the tweets that people are like sending out in response, and you think to yourself, all right, it can't be that bad and that on the nose. What's crazy is how on the nose it absolutely was. And there's just one tweet that I want to show. It's the tweet number 10 that's just, the irony would be funny if it wasn't so damn infuriating. Like, that's it. And that's the same response a lot of people had to seeing Sean Spicer come out. It's just like, I don't know if the comedy jokes approach, calling out the ridiculousness of it, while it seems the only intuitive response for me to have, I don't know what is the right answer other than just to say, like, straight up, like, he's a bully.
Yeah.
Well, she's, look, guys, I mean, all right, we gotta stop talking about it. She's not that bright. And by the way, none of her handlers and none of his handlers are that bright. Who writes a speech about online bullying and doesn't think, Oh, right. If you asked anyone in the country who's the biggest online bully, they would answer Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe some percentage of right-wingers wouldn't, but even they might. Right? Mm-hmm. And who reads that speech and goes, nailed it, that's such a good idea. It's like,
hey,
like,
they're good ideas. Those are good ideas in her speech, but it's not a good idea to have that speech.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as if she's criticizing people who are pretending to be really rich when they're not, with orange hair. Like, you, somebody be like, wait a minute. Right. Like, wait, that's your husband, right?
Did she really say that?
And so this is the same exact thing. Yeah. And no one was bright enough to go, let's just tweak the language because it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. All right, we're going to turn our attention to St. Louis. A St. Louis pizza owner was tear gassed during protests by the police, and he wants the police chief to be fired. This is part of a growing movement to displace and get rid of the temporary police chief in St. Louis. What's the story of the pizzeria owner? Well, his name's Chris Summers, and he's the owner of Pie Pizzeria. And he says that his place a few nights ago was tear gassed by police officers who didn't really need to tear gas anyone by his account. It was escalating a situation that wasn't going to escalate otherwise. The police were acting inappropriately. Following that, the police union and a Blue Lives Matter movement posted on Facebook a call to action for a bunch of folks out there to actually go and call the pizzeria up and essentially harass them and tie up their phone lines in the meantime. That's what happened. The actual quote, Summers wrote that he was in his restaurant Tuesday evening when police began firing tear gas and non-lethal weapons. There being no protesters around at the time, Summers wrote, as officers continued to shoot, I lost my expletive and screamed at them for terrorizing our guests, calling O'Toole, who is the interim police chief, a leader of the corruption and incompetence in the SLMPD. The pizzeria owner called on the city's mayor to immediately fire the interim police officer. Another business owner in the neighborhood who owns a bookstore says we need a radically different type of policing in St. Louis, and O'Toole is not the person for that. O'Toole is very old school with respect to the St. Louis police and the extremely white and organized police union. He's part of that. There you go.
Yeah, and they're saying extremely white, and I don't know the race of the person who said that, because meaning that it's not representative of the community. There's nothing wrong with being extremely white. Okay, just they're saying that this is not a police force that's from this community and represents this community. And you can tell when the cops cleared out the protesters on Sunday night when they started chanting, "Whose streets are streets?" Well, no, you're working for the citizens. That's their streets and they pay your salary. But they clearly in that chant show you that that's not their attitude. That's not their frame of mind. Their frame of mind is us versus them. Mm-hmm. The citizens are the bad guys and now we took the streets away from them. Remember, you're supposed to be policing the community on behalf of the community. Right?
Yeah, and I'm really happy that the restaurant owners are speaking out. Some of them are doing so without disclosing their identity because they're worried of retaliation. But the fact that these restaurant owners are now coming out and saying, no, this interim police chief is a problem. We saw police officers acting in a way that escalated the situation. They were using non-lethal weapons excessively, even when there weren't protesters, in the vicinity at that time. And so, look, we always get the two sides, and it's the side of the protesters, the side of the cops. The cops usually have a way of dominating the headlines and making it appear to be, a number of violent vandals who are throwing bricks through windows and this and that. And it's interesting to hear from those actual business owners who are saying, no, the problem here is the way that the policing is going down. We need better leadership there.
Yeah, and part of the reason why this is making news is because, unfortunately, business leaders have more of a voice that the media respects than the average citizen. So when business leaders are like, hey, this is not helping this area, people are like, whoa, wait a minute, this affects money. Okay, so we should take this seriously. And that's what's happening here. But the person on the ground that I'm super proud of that has led a lot of these protests is Cori Bush. Cori Bush is actually a Justice Democrat. She's running for office, and it's not an accident. Part of the reason the Justice Democrats picked her is because she has been leading protests and a leader in the community all throughout. So I'm going to go to graphic 15 first. Right in the beginning, Cori Bush, when they started doing the protests in the first place, said when she heard the verdict, that was the cause of these protests. She said, I actually cried, and not because I didn't expect to hear that, but because it was a confirmation that we don't care about you at all. It's like, see, I told you we don't care about you, and we don't have to. Now, of course, the reason that people were so outraged is because the African American in that case was shot, and he had no DNA on the gun, and the cop did have DNA on the gun. He paused, fired the last kill shot. I mean, and he said, "I'm going to go kill the guy beforehand," and he still was acquitted. Okay, so it was a particularly egregious case, and Cori Bush then led a silent protest. So just to make a point, which is such a great idea. Like, they keep saying we're chanting the wrong things. They keep saying that we're violent, etc. You know what we're gonna do? All right, fine. We'll have a completely silent protest. 12 people, lines of 12 people, locked arms, protesting throughout the streets. And she said at the end of that protest, the purpose of this action was to let people know that our presence is powerful. This was power walking down the street. And she said, we're not afraid of being arrested. We're not afraid of being talked about. We're not afraid to do whatever it takes to say to them, you will stop killing us. That's powerful. So thanks to Cori Bush for doing that. I love that. She was actually the very first candidate for Justice Democrats.
Really?
Yes, and she's running an election. And if you've got real powerful community leaders who are on your side, you should be on their side. Go back her, because she was there from day one. So God bless the business leaders and the community leaders who are fighting back to make sure your voice is represented. All right, guys, we got to go. We do have a little bit more for you guys on TYTnetwork.com as the show continues in a second. For the serious audience, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow. All right, we're back. Cenk, Brett, and Anna with you guys here. What's next, Brett?
Biodome, favorite story. It makes me happy. After 8 months in a essential biodome, 6 people from NASA face an even more perilous landscape, planet Earth. They were in a biodome. We have photos of it. This is I know it's not officially called a biodome, and that's like a ridiculous movie from the 90s, but it's a biodome. And it's in Hawaii. They've been in there for 8 months. They can walk outside, but they have to wear like mock space suits to do so. And they came out of the biodome, and they have to face reality. And my favorite are the tweet responses with people like Alistair Coote, who say, how long until they ask to be let back in?
Right.
And then David Sims, who writes, who wants to tell them? Because they went in on the 19th of January, and they're just coming out today. Oh my God, so many questions for them on like how this experience must be.
Right. So they've had some communication with the outside world. They've gotten some news. So it's not like they've been completely cut off from knowing what's been going on. But it's been incredibly difficult. Like, they get screenshots of news stories, and it's very limited. So there's like a lot of torture, like mental torture that we've gone through that they haven't had to deal with.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm curious to see like where their happiness level is compared to the rest of the US population.
Right. But how much nicer it must be to be locked in a room.
and not exposed to the outside world.
Yeah.
So they were trying to the best of their ability, replicate what it would be like to be on this very long space mission. And that's why if they asked for something, they would get it, but 20 minutes later, they couldn't use links because there's no internet, etc. But they would get like snapshots of the news and not much depth. So it's not like they didn't know the hurricanes weren't here, including Trump. Mm-hmm. But remember, January 19th is the day before inauguration. So they don't even know how big Trump's crowd sizes were.
Oh my God,
if they knew how gigantic they were, so like weird. His hands.
Trump doesn't even know how big his crowd size is.
He knows, it's not right. Right. Just the idea that they didn't have Google, but they had like access to Wikipedia current events, and they could only access information if it was like tangentially related to the actual mission that they were on, which is cosplaying scenes from the movie The Martian. And like the way they must have been like, all right, how can I find a way to shoehorn my curiosities into like a mission related thing? So for a hurricane, it's like, well, then we have to go to the National Weather Service to study weather patterns on Earth. But I don't know. Just the logistics of being away from everyone for 8 months. Like, have a lot of faith in auto pay.
Mm. Oh, that's a good point.
Like, what do you do? If you have a cat or a dog, like that cat, their dog, you just give it to someone. I mean, it'll be fine. I'm just saying, like, you have to like think everything through, all these logistics. And then the one guy whose last name is Ehrlich, good for him, way more accomplished Ehrlich than this one, even though he would just locked himself in a room. He had a girlfriend. He was away from for 8 months, not a wife, a girlfriend.
There's no way he didn't sign up because of that.
I'm sure that's not why.
I'm also sure she cheated on him. So
how are you sure? That is defamatory.
That is. I don't know her, so it's not like explicitly defamatory.
Uh-huh. Could you imagine if she cheated on him with another Ehrlich and that's why you knew?
Different spelling.
Anyway, John Iadarola would have loved this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is his like dream.
Isn't he on a similar mission?
But he is.
Right now?
He is. That's right. And so anyway, it would have been better if they couldn't get any news.
Yes.
Right.
And if they had gone in before the election.
Yes.
If they came out and people are like, Donald Trump is the president, they'd be like, no.
Like, imagine that. Like, right. It must have been like a Truman Show style ruse where they just like orchestrate an entire false reality. They must have been like, there's no way.
Yeah, they're like, look, at least the practical joke should have been better. Like, Trump's president? No
right,
way.
A little on the nose, guys.
Oh, wow. Okay. I would have loved if that happened and we could, like, see their reaction.
Like, film, like, okay, yeah. he won, and then he did this, and then this, and then this, and have them go, no, no, no. They seem because they didn't get the brace for impact. they would just get hit with the impact right away. But, you know, but finally, in some sense, though, since they went in January 19th, they just came out. Now, sure, there was all the tweets and the nonsense and the insanity and the threats and all this stuff and Charlottesville and stuff. That's all true. On the other hand, there's literally nothing that's gotten done since they went into the Biodome.
Right.
He didn't pass a single bill. Like, he's done a bunch of executive orders, some of which his own government is ignoring.
Yeah.
The courts have blocked some of them, and the generals are like, no, we're not going to kick out the transgender people from the military. We're just going to kind of ignore his orders. So nothing really has happened. That's the ironic part.
There have been things. Maybe not legislatively, but the travel ban, for the most part, is now in effect, right? Mm-hmm. ICE has been a lot more aggressive and is going after more and more people, and they have more of their, you know, immigration checkpoints and things like that. Yeah, there's been some bad stuff. Someone got murdered in a hate rally.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But they already know about ICE because when they were coming out, ICE was the first to greet them. They thought they were illegal aliens.
Right. Papers, please. Papers, please. Nice tent. My God. All right. Do you guys want to do any more or is that good?
The next story is kind of a downer. I don't know. It's up to you guys.
It's a downer. You want to do You want to do that story or the one about how people don't know anything in America?
Let's save. I don't know. It's up to you.
Save
guys. I would save that one for tomorrow and do our awesome post game show that we have.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh,
with that.
Yeah, awesome post game show. All right, well, let's do that. All right, that makes sense. Quite right. Brilliant. So I do have a lot of freaking stories for you guys. The Uber stories are great. You're gonna love them. And then the when I got arrested, when my sister hated me. There's all these wonderful things. TYTnetwork.com/join.
Bye bye.